Good morning and welcome to Minnesota Reads here on Northland Morning. And as we continue our celebration of Laura Erickson this month and 30 years of her program For the Birds, we are thrilled to be, well, I am thrilled to be holding in my hands a brand new copy of a book that I've been waiting for probably my whole life and didn't realize it, Field Guide to Birds of Minnesota by Laura Erickson. I was disappointed now that you did not photograph this entire book, but you did contribute some photographs to it. Is that right?
Right. The American Birding Association is the group that published it, and they're doing a whole series of state field guides. They asked me to do the Minnesota one, but they have one photographer, Brian Small, who has this huge body of photographs spanning all the states. And so he's the photographer and photo editor for the whole series.
I'm really excited about this book because when I go out and I see a bird, I don't know even where to start, how to identify it. I photographed a bird recently that was small and green. It strikes me that that's not really enough information to go on. How is this book going to make it easy for novice birders?
The trick when you're starting out is there's so many birds. This book includes 300 species, photographs of 300 species. But Kim Eckert in Duluth has seen over 400 species in Minnesota. Many of them were just there for a couple of days and disappeared. So there's many birds of Minnesota that you could theoretically or actually see that are very unlikely. This book includes the most likely suspects. It tells you for some, like I only include the northern shrike here, and yesterday, just 2 miles west of Port Wing, Wisconsin, on Highway 13, the amazing Ryan Brady found a loggerhead shrike, and they appear in Minnesota, too. They're on our endangered species list, but they're very improbable. The loggerhead shrike would only be here in spring, summer, and fall. The northern shrike in the late fall through the winter and the early spring. I have a picture of the northern shrike, but in the description, I explain what to look for to make sure it's not a loggerhead shrike.
Oh, okay.
So I did that for some of the oddball birds. Some of them, like the gulls, there's actually a lot of gulls. And we get to see many of them in the wintertime from Canal Park, which is where the infamous ivory gull turned up this past winter. And I don't cover all those possibilities because there are whole books, thick books, much bigger than this field guide, just covering gulls. And that would be more bewildering than helpful when people mainly need to know if it's a herring or a ring-billed gull that is mooching their French fries. If they're at McDonald's, it's definitely a ring-billed gull. If they're up in Grand Marais, it could be either. So you remember the phrase red herring, and when you look at the legs, if the legs are pink, it's a herring gull. But if the legs are yellow, it's a ring-billed gull. But I covered the most common ones. The trick for a beginner is exactly what I had to deal with when I was starting birding. There's this whole book of hundreds of species. You're looking at one bird, and to find it in those hundreds of pages while the bird is still there can be very tricky. It's good to compare the real bird with its picture in the book, if you can find them. The first priority when you see a bird is to try to notice as many things about it, even as you're glancing back and forth, rifling through the pages, trying to find something that looks like it. But many of the birds you see will be the one that got away. And little by little, as you figure out each bird, every next one will be much easier. My first spring, I went out practically every day. And my list, my life list from March 2nd through June 1st, 1975, I got my life list up to 40. Now I'm like so bummed out if I don't see at least that many in a single morning. But it, the number is something that grows. The number is meaningless in a lot of ways. Somebody with a really long life list can be pretty darned poor at bird identification, but they've had a lot of opportunities to travel, and they either have a very big imagination or have gone out with guides. So the number on your life list does not reflect a whole lot. Now, if you have binoculars and if you have a smartphone, you can get a cool little device that you can get your smartphone against your binoculars held in the right place with this device to get pictures of the actual bird.
You can't Are you kidding me?
You can't be looking through both of the barrels of your binoculars. But yeah, you can do that. What you need to do is spend time at home playing with it before you go outside to make sure that you can do it. And that's the thing about bird identification, too. You should use the same field guide over and over and spend time, have it next to your bed or have it in the bathroom or have it somewhere where you'll just pick it up frequently and thumb through it. You get a feel for how the field guide is arranged so you know where the warblers are in the book.
Laura, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It is always a treat. We'd like to thank Laura Erickson, our guest this morning. She's the author of the brand new Field Guide to Birds of Minnesota. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.